Give the world a smile each day.
Welcome to Words to Encourage, the daily radio broadcast of the Bible Baptist Church of Grove City, Ohio. Everyone needs encouragement. We all need to be uplifted. With today's encouragement, here's our pastor, Stan Slater.
With a smile, a bright sunny smile.
Welcome to Words to Encourage. This is the daily radio broadcast of the Bible Baptist Church. We're located in Grove City, Ohio, and I'm Brother Slaybaugh. Well, good Monday to you. How was church yesterday? We had a wonderful Lord's Day here at Bible Baptist Church, and God met with us, a tremendous crowd, and great spirit. It's Missions Conference Week, and we look forward to a great Missions Conference coming up this week. Our preacher for the conference starting this Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday will be Pastor John Hamilton from New Life Baptist Church in Columbia, South Carolina. We will have the Morgan family. They are missionaries headed to Japan. And then we will have Becca Joseph. She's a missionary, medical missionary, going to Honduras. And then we will have Dr. Bruce Martin and his wife, and he's with a medical missions outreach as well, and we're looking forward to a marvelous time together in this missions conference. We'll start Thursday night, 6:30, Friday night, 6:30, and then Saturday about the same time after our dinner at 5 o'clock, and then, of course, Sunday service is at 9:30. 10:30 and 5:30 on Sunday night. Always a great time. We will have our midweek service Wednesday at 7, and we'll be gearing up for the missions conference and asking God to do some great things in our midst. Well, we had a great Lord's Day, and hope you had a great Lord's Day where you were, that you were in your place, that you were a blessing to your church and to your pastor, and that God met with you and God spoke to your heart. You got what you needed as we head out into another week of September. Do want to remind you, the Grove City Arts in the Alley Parade is coming up on Saturday, and we'll be in that parade. I hope you look for our float, and we'll be passing out some literature from the church and giving out the gospel as well as some candy, and we look forward to participating in the parade once again this year in Grove City. If your Bible's nearby, Matthew chapter 14, beginning in verse number 22, the Bible says, "And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side, while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. When the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, It's a spirit. And they cried out for fear. But Jesus spake unto them, saying, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, Come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him, and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased, and they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, Of a truth, thou art the Son of God. This is the second storm we come upon in the book of Matthew. Earlier in chapter 8, they had a storm, and Jesus was in the boat, asleep in the boat, and they woke him up to say, Master, we perish. That would be the calm before the storm, or the storm before the calm, as it were. And at least Jesus was with him in that storm. But this time, he's nowhere to be found. His presence is not apparent. And we all go through storms where we wonder, is God here? Where is his presence? Can he be reached? And what do you do then? Well, let me give you some help. When you're in a storm, and you're not sure about the storm, and not even sure if God is there, let me assure you of four things. Number one, Jesus has allowed the storm. He constrained them to go into a ship. And the word constrain there means to compel or to drive. The disciples wanted to stay where they were after this great miracle they had witnessed of the loaves and the fishes. But Jesus says, no, you're going to leave. You're going to go. And he constrained them to go, knowing that they would be going into a great storm. Now, we know now that had they stayed, they probably would have attempted to just ride Jesus' coattails, so to speak, and never leave his side. And they wanted to be with him. I mean, he could walk on water. I think they knew that, and he could, maybe they could do the same through faith. But listen, here's the point. Sometimes God's going to send you into a storm of testing, and he's going to do that to test us, to test our faith and our trust in him. And you see, God is more concerned about our spiritual growth than he is our personal comfort. You said, well, doesn't God love me the way I am? Yes, he does. But he loves you too much to let you stay that way. So he is molding us and making us into his image, step by step, day by day, week by week, month by month, year by year. In the first storm, he was present. But in the second storm, he proved to be there, but they couldn't see him at first. Then he revealed himself to them. And so the disciples may have been scared to death, but in the end they realized that as they went through this storm, and they went through the storm, not because they were out of God's will, but because they were in God's will. Don't think that because you're in God's will there'll never be a storm. No, sometimes God allows those storms to come. In fact, sometimes he sends the storms. So sometimes storms are for correction. Now, in the case of Jonah. But some, when Jonah was fleeing from God, remember, and he sent that big storm and they threw him overboard. But others, as this storm is for perfection. It means maturing of the saints. And sometimes God will send storms to mature our faith. But secondly, be assured of this. Jesus is praying for you in the storm. When we are in the place of peril, Jesus is in the place of prayer. What a contrast between the two locations. The Gospel of Mark gives us the detail that Jesus could see them toiling and rowing. On the mountain, praying, overlooking the Sea of Galilee, he can see the storm. And he can see the disciples in it. Oh, they can't see Jesus, but he can see them. And the Bible says that Jesus ever lives to make intercession for us. He's not surprised by what comes upon us. He's watching and praying over us. A little boy got in trouble, and his mother disciplined him. He got mad at his mom for doing that. And at bedtime, he knelt with his mother by his bedside, and he asked God to bless Daddy and bless his sister and bless his brother and his dog and his cat and his fish and his friends, but not his mother. At the end of the prayer, he smirked at his mom and said, I guess you noticed you weren't in it. And the good news is, listen, no matter what you've done against him, Jesus still prays for you. We're still in his prayer. No matter, he won't leave us out of his prayer. Peter, Satan hath desired to sift you as wheat, but I've prayed for you. He ever liveth to make intercession for you and me. Oh, what a comfort, what a joy, what an honor, what a humbling privilege to know that Jesus Christ is praying for me today. And he's praying for you too, believer. So number one, the first assurance is Jesus allows the storm. Number two, Jesus is praying for me through the storm. Number three, Jesus will come in his own time. Now he came during the fourth watch of the night. That's between 3 a.m. and 6 a.m. It's the darkest part of the night. And I know liberals say, well, they just thought they saw Jesus. He was on the shore, but he really wasn't walking on the water. No, they've been in the sea long enough now. They would be miles from shore. That wasn't going to happen. I'm just simple enough to believe that if it said Jesus came walking on the water, Jesus was walking on the water. I just believe what the Bible says. I believe that every drop of water that it was in that Sea of Galilee was upholding the Son of God. I believe that Jesus walked on the water. And so, why did Jesus come to them in that manner, walking on the water? I think he wanted to show them, first of all, that what they feared the most was under his control. What are they fearing? The water getting in the ship. They weren't sure they were going to make it. The waves were over their head. The waves were coming in under their feet. And it doesn't matter what you are, what kind of storm you're in, what kind of waves you're facing, whether financial waves or family waves or emotional waves or physical waves, Jesus is on top of it. Jesus is above it. What you actually fear can bring you closer to Jesus. The raging sea was nothing but a sidewalk that brought Jesus closer to them. And could have brought them closer to Jesus if they'd get out of the boat in faith. They thought at first it was a ghost, a spirit. I'm reminded of the two security guards that worked at a morgue. It was eerie, and the one asked, do you believe in ghosts? And the second said, no, but I'm scared of them. Well, if things couldn't get worse in the storm, here comes a ghost. And they thought it was a ghost. Why? Because they're living in fear instead of faith. See? They didn't believe. Faith is believing in something you cannot see. When you get in a situation and you say, I just don't see how God is in this, what a great opportunity to exercise faith. Hadn't he calmed the storm before? Yes. Didn't the waves lie down peacefully like a whipped puppy? Yes. Isn't that reason enough to have faith during this storm? Yes, it should have been. You rest assured, don't live in fear. Live in faith. Jesus is there. He'll come to you in the storm in his own time. Three assurances so far. Jesus allowed the storm. He's praying for us in the storm. And he'll come to us in his own time in the storm. And number four, the storms of life can help me grow in faith. On the boat that night, of course, was Simon Peter. I wonder what the others thought of him when he said, Lord, if it's you, let me come to you. I mean, I don't know. The Bible doesn't record their comments, but there had to be some. Boy, Peter, you pulled some crazy stunts in your day, but this one might top them all. But he confidently jumps out of the boat, and his feet land on the water like he's landing on concrete. Can you imagine how fun that would have been? Oh, it's easy for us to criticize him for taking his eyes off Jesus, for sinking, but at least he jumped out of the boat. I don't know about you. I don't want to be a boat people. I want to be a water walker. I want to take the risk. I want to make the attempt. I want to try. And even if I fail, I want to be able to say, at least I stepped out by faith. If I aim at nothing, I'll hit it every time. I know that Peter sank, and I know the Lord saved him and brought him up. But God's not looking for perfection. He's just looking for somebody who'll be willing to get out of the boat and try something once in a while. How about you? You ever given out gospel tracts? You ever gone out soul winning? Why don't you give it a try? Why don't you give it a go? Why don't you find out if tithing will work? Why don't you find out if you can outgive God? Why don't you make an attempt to see if it's really real? Peter learned a lot that day about himself and about the Lord. He learned that when fears rise up, faith dies. He learned to keep his eyes on Jesus and not on the storm. He learned that if I keep my eyes on Jesus, I can be a water walker, not a boat dweller. Fear is looking at God through your circumstances. But faith is looking at your circumstances through God. Live above the circumstances, not underneath them. Now, I said earlier, your storm may be for correction, or your storm could be for perfection. But Jesus has allowed it to come. He's allowed it to cross your path. And while you may feel like you're in a place of peril, I remind you the second assurance, Jesus is praying for you. He may seem far away, but he'll come to you in his own time. It may be the darkest hour of the night, but he'll come. And he'll use that storm to increase your faith in him, your confidence in him, your trust in him. May the Lord help us to enjoy the storm because of what God's using to accomplish in our life. Well, that's the storms of life, all right? Hey, have a wonderful Monday, everybody. I appreciate you listening to Words to Encourage Radio, and I'll look forward to being with you on tomorrow's broadcast. And until then, this is Brother Slayball reminding you, be good to everyone, because everyone's having a tough time.
Thank you for listening today. If this broadcast was an encouragement to you, we would love to hear from you. You can contact us by email at pastor@bbcgrovecity.org. Or you can call us at area code 614-875-2190. We invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church at 2758 Home Road in Grove City, Ohio. Our service times are Sunday morning at 9:30 for Sunday school and 10:30 for the morning worship service. We meet back together at 5:30 for our evening service and on Wednesday at 7 o'clock p.m. We also host the RU Recovery Ministry, a faith-based recovery program bringing transformation to hurting people in our community. We meet every Friday at 7 o'clock in the evening. You can find more information at our website about this and other ministries of Bible Baptist Church at bbcgrovecity.org. We hope that today these were truly words to encourage. Words to Encourage is paid for by the generous members and supporters of the Bible Baptist Church in Grove City, Ohio.